Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, and it continues now. This is the broadcast for, October the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2018? Of course, this is Hour 2 at 2, and our goal to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country continues. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. All right, there's a lot to cover in the news. I want to talk about Columbus Day. I believe Christopher Columbus, Kurt, is under attack. Have you seen this all over the news, Kurt?
The part about him being under attack? Is that yes, what you're talking about? The main thing I've noticed is there's not much talk about him. And the reason I think that that's the way they want to do it is if you talk about heroes, like in especially in his case, as far as I can tell, he's a white guy.
I don't know that he's white, and, but okay.
Well, anyway.
He comes from what, Italian European. And Spain, Kurt?
Yeah, well, he comes from, European ancestry.
I know, like he's Italian and Spanish and all that kind of stuff. They're the ones that,
Well, they funded some of his travels, as far as I know, but...
Wasn't he Italian?
I don't know.
I think he's Italian. I think he got, tried to get money for the Italians and the
Spanish. So does that mean he's a white guy?
I don't know. Italians aren't really white, are they, Kurt? Now, I know they consider them Europeans and kind of with the
white ones
people,
that I've seen are, typically, but...
They're not different than your skin?
No. Pretty much the same.
And the reason I bring all this up is because they tell you that he's a racist and all this stuff, and there's a big debate about his skin color and how it's fascinating the white people back him, even though he doesn't have white skin, Christopher Columbus, see? And they kind of go on. It's this big old battle about race and about being a bigot and about nationalism and about, they divide asunder on this thing 96 ways from Sunday, Kurt.
96 ways from Sunday.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. Now, what I don't understand about this is, Kurt, is it really about race?
Well, I thought it was not about who's right. It's about what's right.
That's right. Is it about race, though, Kurt? See, when I was a kid, it was never about race when we talked about Christopher Columbus.
No, not in my book.
It was about this idea of seeking for truth, from what I understand. He believed that the world wasn't flat. He believed that there was more out there, and he believed that God inspired him, and he believed that he was on a special mission and called to do this by God, and he basically proved the world wasn't flat, and he searched for a new land, and I thought it was all about God and him carrying out his mission before God and finding a new world which blessed America, the Americas, if you will. And I mean, I thought it was all about that when I was a kid, Kurt. But now they want you to believe it's all about race. It's all about nationalism and being a bigot and all these different things. I just don't even know what they're talking about. They're so far out in left field, I can't even understand the discussions anymore, Kurt.
Good point.
Right?
Yeah. I don't even know what to say about it.
Well, I will say this. I believe that they're trying to destroy the Christopher Columbus Day in our society. And I believe there's quite a bit of talk about it on the mainstream press sites, but not in the positive way that you and I would talk about it, okay? Columbus Day, Christopher Columbus, has been, from the first, a powerful symbol of nationalism, they say. But they say the problem is he never even set a foot on the United States continent, Kurt. Then they say, I say Christopher Columbus is under attack. They say, quote, should the United States celebrate Columbus Day, writes Reuters? Well, of course we should, people. What are you thinking? Of course we should. It's a celebration of a man who's willing to follow his calling from God, Kurt. That's what it's about, isn't it?
Well, Sam, but that's the reason so many of them want to not celebrate it. Now, I guess in Columbus, Ohio, you know, where it's named after Columbus.
Yes, sir.
They used to spend, 95 million bucks to celebrate, but now it's all canceled. So maybe if government's not spending the money, I'm grateful for that. But what happens so many times, we're going to promote transgender and homosexuality and all that other stuff and forget about, real heroes and real history, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. And what I don't understand about all this is, why do we need to battle over this? Why do we need to just dig in and just create a battle and a meltdown? To me, the biggest reason they want to crush Christopher Columbus Day, Kurt, is because he was on a mission from God. And I'm telling you right now, you can't tell a Christopher Columbus story without talking about God's hand in his travels. And so I believe that, A, they really want to shut down God. Right?
I guess the nationwide movement is to change the name of Columbus Day. They want to call it Indigenous Peoples Day.
Are these people
I'm not
nuts?
For that. But anyway, that's just there are some people who just want to basically change everything, Sam.
And they want to say a new study proves that his writings shows that he was Spanish, Kurt, not white.
Well, there
but
you go.
But what I don't understand is, why do we even care if he's white or not, Kurt? What difference does it make?
Well, for some, it makes a lot of difference.
To me, it makes no difference. Listen very carefully. Yeah. Christopher Columbus was a child of God. And in my opinion, he's a great role model because he acknowledged God in his life and he did his best to carry out what he believed to be his calling or his mission from God. And I think if we all do that in life, just imagine where the society could be, Kurt. We don't even need to break down and divide on race. We don't need to debate if he's white or not, or what if an Italian is white, or somebody from Spain is white or not. We just don't even care.
I guess, my main reason for kind of, I guess you could say, kicking against the pricks when it comes to these federal holidays is, when we, pay these federal employees, most of them, at least in my opinion, are getting paid way too much for the work that they do. But this has been a federal holiday since way back in 1934, Sam, Columbus Day.
And some of the presidents as early as 1892 kind of highlighted it and maybe not made it official, but they were celebrating as a national holiday as well.
Since 92, a number of cities and states have ditched celebrating it. Berkeley, California became the first city to rename the holiday Indigenous Peoples Day. Cincinnati's among the most recent jurisdictions to rename the holiday Indigenous Peoples Day. It's just, there's a lot of weird
And Reuters is saying, hey, should the United States celebrate Columbus Day? And then they say, what do you think of the argument for changing the name and focus of the Columbus Day from the Indigenous Peoples Day? And then across the United States, more cities ditch Columbus Day so that we can really discover America. CNN, Columbus Day no longer a holiday for namesake. Ohio Capitol. These people are crazy, Kurt. Let me tell you what I would like to do. I don't believe you need to take off work to celebrate a day, first of all. And so I kind of reject this whole notion that we can make all 365 days holidays and then nobody would have to work. Okay, that's bogus. Working is a blessing. Working is a delight. There's nothing wrong with working. Now, I agree you need to have a healthy family life balance, and I understand all that. I'm just saying this idea that whenever we can, turn away from work and have a big party is, I believe, a false notion in the first place. Secondarily, I agree that, bureaucrats get paid too much, but I don't know that we need to declare everything a national holiday. Kurt, can't we just remember Christopher Columbus and do so without any government interference? And I personally don't want to debate if he's white at all. All I want to do is double down and say I'm grateful that he followed his mission from God. I'm grateful we found America. I don't care who's to blame or who's to, you know, get the credit. All I know is I'm grateful for the march towards a liberty-loving nation set up by God, in my humble opinion, till the Savior Jesus Christ returns. And I want to use this wonderful platform of liberty called America to promote nationalism, not in a racist way, but to say, look, there are borders, there are nations, there are opportunities for freedom, and there are guidelines that make countries great. It's called the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. That document is, I believe, a blessing, Kurt, and I don't want to back away from these things on this altar that, oh, man, Christopher wasn't a white guy. Yes, he was. Oh, man, he believed in God. No, he didn't. He hated God. Oh, he was a pervert. We can't celebrate that. What about the indigenous people that he destroyed? Oh, he never even set foot on America. We can just double down on all these waste of time arguments. Or we can simply say we don't even need government. We just need to realize that, hey, it's something that I personally revere and want to celebrate. And I don't want race to be part of the discussion. I want the discussion he was a man on a mission from God, and he carried it out faithfully. And despite all the negative you can point out, you know what? He helped contribute to the Revolutionary War. And that Revolutionary War, sad it took war, but created the freest country on the face of the earth. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is acknowledged as more important than government. And boy, howdy, is that a critical component. I celebrate and revere Christopher Columbus. I don't care what color he was. And I'm telling you right now that no, we should not celebrate Indigenous Day and destroy Christopher Columbus Day.
Regrets? Oh, we're all gonna have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. At some point, you're gonna wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your 3-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
It is my prayer, last point on Columbus Day, it is my prayer that we celebrate people who do their very best to acknowledge God and to turn to God and to carry out God's will for them. It's also important that we set aside race and realize we're all God's children. And it's important to also, in my humble opinion, recognize the events that culminated in the greatest country on the face of the earth and the contribution that people along the way made, from the reformers religiously to, I believe it's a religious revival, to put God above government where he rightfully belongs. And so I don't want to divide on this. If we want to basically realize that there were people here before Christopher, fine. I'm not pretending that's not true. You know, but he did discover a new world. There's no doubt about it. And even though there were people here before him, I'm sad for all the mistakes made along the way in any country, whether it be Holodomor, you know, Memorial Day, Holodomor Memorial Day, and their wrongs, or whether it be any wrongs that the United States may have committed. I don't want to focus on the wrongs. I want to acknowledge them. I want to repent and apologize for them. But then I want to move on, and I want to focus on God, family, and country for everyone, everywhere, all the time. I want to protect life, liberty, and property for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Male and female created to them. I want to acknowledge that. I want to promote marriage and family and, you know, all the good things in life. And I want to do my very best to do that. And so I personally do not want to let go of Columbus Day. I also don't need it to be a government holiday. I can celebrate it myself. And I can share the wonderful blessings that we have in America. And I can give credit to many, 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 many people along the way. It's a rich history of good people doing good things. Spread the word, would you please? All right, Kurt, Melania's doing just that, isn't she?
Yeah, Sam, she's made the news again over the weekend, I guess, or in recent days. She took a little trip to some places in Africa. Some of the places are Ghana and Malawi. But you know, I guess the standard news media just wanted to all talk about, you know, her outfits, you know, her hat or her dress or her shoes or whatever else. Well, she kind of said, well, you know, let's talk about what I was there for. I guess, you know, some media want to point out the fact that she said the... I guess in the WorldNet Daily story I've got, it says one expressed purpose of her trip was to highlight her Be Best initiative. That's pretty mean of the First Lady.
Well, see, and they don't want to focus on the Be Best initiative. I don't understand that, but I do. Yeah. I absolutely want to focus on it, Kurt. Good for her, and I commend her. And you know what? I don't care what she wears. And by the way, I don't care what color she is, Kurt. Don't care.
And the WorldNet Daily piece says the Be Best initiative, which promotes encouragement, kindness, compassion, and respect. Wow. I mean, you can see why they want to talk about her outfit. But
you can see why I want to basically double down and commend her and thank her and help her, Kurt.
Yeah. And in this, at least to me, another part we could highlight, Sam, that I think is pretty interesting in the WorldNet Daily piece, says in Malawi she toured several outdoor classrooms at a primary school in the capital. On the second stop of her four-nation tour of the continent, the school is among those in the landlocked country that receive education assistance from the U.S. Agency for International Development, including textbooks. She was on hand as the U.S. ambassador handed over another 1.4 million books through a U.S.-funded national reading program. Malawi's schools have received some 9.6 million books under the program in the past several years. The WorldNet Daily piece says, charity, not colonialism. Then it finishes and says, meanwhile, back at CNN, they were recollecting the good old days when the former First Lady, Michelle Obama, wore bright, colorful outfits on her trips to the continent. But, you know, Sam, to me, did you know that we had the program called the, I've heard of the USAID, Agency for International Development, but did you know we did textbooks with it?
I had no idea, Kurt, but I would celebrate her efforts, but I would reject this program and shut it down. Not because I don't believe in giving books to those who are in need. I'm all for education and all for books, but I want it to be a charitable volunteer effort. Nonprofits, churches, individuals, philanthropists, all kinds of people can get involved, but we don't need to steal the taxpayer or, you know, money from the taxpayers or from the individual or the families to do this, Kurt. I would like to see it done differently, but I like the idea. And again, I don't want to double down too negative. I'm grateful she's there. I'm grateful she's highlighting it. I'm grateful for the job she's doing. And I'm disappointed in those who want to just focus on what she's wearing. Why, by the way, what is she wearing, Kurt? Is it bad?
No, it had some kind of a weird looking little hat, and so they.
Well,
they
it's not. Hold on, it's on not that, as weird as the hats those other women are wearing, my friend.
Well, yeah, but they wouldn't even talk about that, Sam, and say they're weird. That's like freedom of speech for them, you know. But, you know, wouldn't it be cool if the First Lady and the President could say, look, you know, we've seen another place where our federal government's just wasting money, and we want to go ahead and ante up and, you know, help bring books to these people, but we don't want to force hardworking Americans to participate. On the other hand, we want to say, look, here's, you know, $100 right out of my pocket. Here's, you know, would you guys participate in helping us so that these good people there can read, and we'll take them a whole bunch of Bibles, you know.
Amen.
Now, that'd really tick off.
Yeah, dig
that'd
it.
Really tick off.
Bring it.
The,
see, that's what
media.
We need. That's what America should be known for, Kurt.
Good points.
And by the way, where's the Bill and Melinda Foundation when you need them, huh, Kurt?
Oh, yeah. Those guys will be trying to vaccinate all these people. You know what I mean?
Or you'll slam birth control on them or something.
Yeah, that's right. Good
anyway,
point.
What a sad tale. But all I'm telling you is I commend Melania, and I don't want to get too sideways from the story, even though I disagree with some of the education funding and all that kind of stuff. I want to focus on that. I really appreciate her, and I really like the points of her initiative. And so she, whenever she brings these points up, they want to beat her up and say, well, your husband just hates everybody. And she, you know what she said about this, Kurt? Did you read this? She said, I often don't agree with some of the things my husband says and or tweets, and I try to talk him out of it.
Yeah.
Now, I bring this up because I think she's right. I bring this up because I think that's what God's intention is, to have a good woman use her kind, polite, patient influence to bring out the good in their men. Right, Kurt? And I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think, you know, my wife does that for me and stuff like that. And, you know, I think that Melania is doing that for the Donald. And I really think that we can't overlook the value there.
Yep. Great point, Sam.
And I think we can't overlook the value of Melania's doing. She's, you know, cruising around the world trying to promote good things. And I don't see why we would attack her or try to side rail the discussion. Can't we just help, Kurt?
Imagine that, Sam.
Can't we just give praise where praise is due? I mean, and when I say praise, I'm not saying we turn Melania into a rock star. I'm just saying we acknowledge the good and show appreciation and help out and give support to it.
Yeah.
You know, what were those words that defined what she was doing over there, Kurt? I mean, think about these words for a minute, people. This is not, I don't want to let this go. This is important. Think about these words.
Well, you're talking about the Be Best campaign.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking
about.
Which
promotes encouragement.
Yeah, now stop.
Kindness.
Okay, Be Best. It promotes encouragement, Kurt, for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and kindness, you said? For everybody,
kindness,
right?
Kindness, yeah. Compassion.
We need more of that, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you that
and,
right now.
And respect. Yeah.
Woo. And she's Aretha Franklin and on us, isn't she, Kurt? R-E-S-P-E-C-T kind of thing. Yeah. But look, she's from where, Kurt? Slovenia, I think it is?
Yep.
Isn't that where she's from? Isn't that a European country, Kurt?
Yes, it is.
And now she's going to where?
Some places in Africa.
So
like
you
Malawi,
got, you know,
and Ghana.
You got European ancestry. You got American leadership, and you've got African, you know, support and assistance and everything. This is an effort to do good for peoples everywhere.
Yep.
Man, what would America be like if we could focus on all this and if we could help with all this and, you know, we could have these initiatives. And Donald might actually sit down and quit being so belligerent. And the liberals might just sit down and go, wow, good things are happening. You know, just imagine what we could do, folks. And you know what's fascinating? What she's doing reminds me of what we heard all weekend from the Church of Jesus Christ General Conference. Weren't they saying the same kind of stuff, Kurt?
Yep.
Liberty Roundtable Live. We hope to carry that legacy forward, baby. I'm telling you right now.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
All right, well, the 16-plus million member Church of Jesus Christ celebrates the General Conference last weekend worldwide, promoting God, family, and country, whatever country you're from, protecting life, liberty, and property, talking about the Savior Jesus Christ, the role model, the example to us all, the perfect example, the source of stability, ladies and gentlemen. And while Melania is running around promoting her Be Best campaign based on compassion and kindness and respect. Wow, good for her. I guess it's starting to become easier and easier to see who's for the good and who's for the bad, huh, Kurt?
Well, yeah, Sam. You know, when you look at this story, you remember a while back there was some comedian that did some fake head of the president was bloodied or whatever. It was,
yeah, it was evil. It was wrong. It was horrible, Kurt.
Well, yeah, it was as if it was the head of President Trump and that she, you know, had it. And she got a little bit of, I guess you could say, reprimand, you know. Well, anyway, this kind of reminds me a little bit of that, Sam. But the source for this story is The Hill, and the headline reads, GOP Senator's Wife Receives Beheading Video After Kavanaugh Vote. And it says, doxed, names and addresses of family members posted online. Said this guy is a senator from Colorado, Republican. His last name's Gardner, first name Corey. I never really heard of him myself, but he said that his wife received a graphic text message with a video of a beheading shortly after he voted to confirm Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. I guess he told Fox News that his wife received the threatening message just hours after the Senate confirmed Kavanaugh in a 50-48 vote. The Colorado Republican also said someone posted the names and addresses of his family members online. Sam, that's, you know, I mean, if the tables were turned and this happened to, like, Barack Obama or, like, Dianne Feinstein, I mean, there'd be folks pretty ticked off, wouldn't there?
Yes, there would. But you know what my statement on this is, Kurt? Shame on them.
Love your neighbors, love your enemies.
Yeah, shame on them. You know. What are they thinking, Kurt? I wouldn't want this for the other side. I wouldn't want this for anyone.
Good point.
Right? I mean, I think this is horrible. And I stand against all the violence that seems to just permeate our culture and society today.
Uh-huh. Thought you might.
Huh?
You are a pretty rough customer, Sam. I said, I thought you might, you know.
Well, I just don't understand. A beheading video, what's the point of it? Just to intimidate her? Just to make her feel... I mean, what is she going to do?
You know, the problem that I see, Sam, let's just say... So for some weird thing, you think this is funny, or, you know, you think, hey, I'm stepping... You know, I'm not beheading anybody, but I'm, you know, sending this. What about the individuals who are... Maybe just a few, maybe a few more bricks short of a load, and they see these stories or, you know, hear these things written or talked about, and they literally do believe that they've got to save America, you know, like the guy who went and shot up the Republican baseball team a while back.
That's a great point.
You know, there are people who are persuaded by the media and by, you know, folks, and they may believe what they're told.
Well, I'm going to use my persuasion to say, what on earth are they thinking? Please don't. Yeah, please stop. Point. Please realize that, you know what, even though we might differ in opinions and even though their actions to me seem just abhorrent, we need to lead by example and kindness and patience. You know what? Steve Voss, well-known singer-songwriter, wrote a song about this very issue, talking about abortion clinics, Kurt.
Yep, good point.
And the idea is somebody's going to die today.
Yep.
And how horrible that is and how we're for pro-life. And he talks about this guy believes that the abortions are horrible, and so he goes and blows up the abortion clinic or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like, are you kidding me? I'm not for abortions, but I'm not interested in blowing up an abortion clinic. I mean, what good's that going to do?
Well, like you said, somebody's going to die. People died.
But not if we have our influence, Kurt. We'd have less people dying all the time. The abortion clinic, people wouldn't die. That just, you know, would influence them patiently, kindly against abortion. That have a respect for pro-life. That lady that we play on the radio, I don't remember her name right now, but... she, you know, was an abortion person, and by patience and kindness and persuasion and education, she eventually went, wait a minute, what the heck am I doing? And she changed, Kurt. And we believe that's the fundamental key for folks. People can change, Kurt.
That's right.
Right? These principles of repentance and forgiveness are available for all. But again, this goes back to you got to believe in Jesus Christ as above government, and, you know, Jesus Christ can do things for us that we can't do for ourselves. And anyway, all I'm telling you is that this is horrible that this poor lady received this video. I'm just ashamed and disappointed, and I pray that we can stop. We can step back a little bit and think a little bit more broadly and say, you know what? I know we have differing opinions, and I know it's frustrating and emotional. I get it. Mm-hmm. But I would hope that we could talk people off the ledge, so to speak. Whether it be acts of violence or hate, or whether it be, you know, suicide, or whether it be abortion, or whether it be any of these things, I hope we can help people, you know, step back from the ledge and say, wait a minute, there's a great future out there for all of us. We can do good things. We can do hard things. We can work together. We can love one another. We can patiently influence one another. And it doesn't need to come to this. Well, when you get tough times in a country, Kurt, instead of having first world problems, you have other problems, and it kind of humbles people and changes people. The biblical reality points this out over and over, that, hey, if people are too belligerent and ignoring God or whatever, then a war comes or a famine comes. And when that happens, a lot of people start to do, in my opinion, more valuable things. Because they start to get focused or kind of reminded about what's important and stuff like that. And I think the folks in Venezuela are starting to get that a little more than maybe we might be right now, Kurt.
Well, yeah, I agree, Sam. And the headline you're talking about is Women in Venezuela are donating breast milk to save babies from malnutrition.
Isn't that wonderful? Not the malnutrition in the first place. An evil government's causing a lot of that. But the fact that people are setting aside, and I don't know if they're political differences. I don't know if they're racially different. I mean, I have no idea. I just want to celebrate it for what it is, Kurt.
Yeah, according to CBC Radio, many undernourished mothers can't produce nutritious milk for their children. So others are, they're adding up, Sam.
Well, I think that's a great thing, and I think that goes along with what Melania's trying to do.
Yeah.
Right? I think that goes along with what we ought to be working on. I think we ought to help do that. I wonder what we could do to maybe help that cause along more. See, I think if we spread this, some philanthropy groups, some private groups, some churches, some good people could kind of say, hey, what could we do to help out that cause? You know, maybe provide some nutrition for mothers so they could then provide nutrition for their children, and it could all happen without government interference. And, you know, a lot of good things could happen, I would think. You know, we could send a I don't know what you call it, peace negotiating team down there to create a pipeline of stability to bring in goods and services and spread cheer and kindness and love and nutrition. And, you know, we could do that, Kurt. Now, I mean, what's a racist like me talking like that for, Kurt? What's up with that?
Good point, Sam.
And I don't even know what color the people are in Venezuela, Kurt. What color are they?
Well, they would typically be a little bit tan, Sam.
Well, unless you were in Venezuela, then you'd be white if you were there.
Well, I'm a little bit tan, you know.
All right.
It's so not Kurt's, quite as tan as some.
Kurt's more white, or the Italian Christopher Columbus is more white than Kurt.
That's right.
So there you go.
We're right in their clothes.
Anyway, all I'm telling you is there's nothing to do with race, nothing to do with anything fighting or hating, or all it has to do with is good people trying to do good things. I think there's this term in the Bible, Kurt, it's bear one another's burdens.
Imagine
and I'm
that,
thinking more of that would be delightful.
Huh.
Yeah? All right, did you hear about this kid, Kurt? This kid did something kind of funny. He's 2 years old, okay?
All right.
His name is Leo Belknap.
Leo Belknap.
Yep, he's a two-year-old boy in Utah. He loves hanging out with his mom and helping out in the business. And what happens is then when, you know, there's papers that need to be shredded, then mom gives kid paper. Kid puts paper in shredder and gone. Thank you, honey.
Yep.
Appreciate that.
That's
most
right.
of the time. Well, it didn't go as planned.
That's right.
Details coming up. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. The goal, to protect life, liberty, and in this case, property.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
His name is Leo Belknap. He's from Utah. He's 2 years old, Kurt. Good kid. Loves helping out mom, right?
Well, yeah. He's just taking care of business. And the parents had been, they'd been saving up. They had like $1,060 saved up to buy some season tickets for University of Utah football, which I'd call a waste of money. But anyway, they had it saved up in an envelope, and they couldn't find it. And then they realized that this little boy, who's pretty helpful on shredding papers, he shredded that money, Sam. So at least it's not maybe what you'd call a total loss, Sam. They say that there's some kind of
like a government rule,
federal government rule that says that if you grind up your money, if you can bring it to us, we'll get it returned to you. The only problem is, Sam, as far as I can see, it takes like 2 years for it to happen. Federal government's supposed to return that.
The sad part is what it really means is the taxpayer will get fleeced to take care of this. And I'm not, saying I don't feel bad for their loss, but I am saying, hey, why don't they just do a GoFundMe, Kurt, tomorrow and say, you know what, our kids shredded this and we're going to do it for football tickets. And let's see if people, really want to make a difference. But when I see these people starving in Venezuela, and when I see Melania running around doing what she's doing, I just kind of think, you know what? Do we really need to replace these people's money so they can go to a football game?
Yeah, the ticket office at the University of Utah heard about their plight. They're offering to help soothe a little of their pain with free tickets.
So they already have tickets now then. I would say basically no harm, no foul. What a funny, horrible story. Be careful that it doesn't happen in your home. Don't try this at home is what they usually say. And I would simply say let's move on. And why don't we then put a campaign together and say we got our tickets? What if we raise some money for the poor? We help somebody else out. What if we look outwards a little bit instead of inwards and say, hey, what can this experience help us do for the benefit of mankind, Kurt?
By the way, Sam, if these guys had, honest money, gold and silver coinage is pretty
tough
wouldn't
have to
run through
easy,
a shredder.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, very interesting story. In a way, it's kind of funny. In a way, it's kind of sad. In a way, we ought to let it point us to what really matters.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that'll be a funny story, though. That'll probably last their family.
You won't hear much about it.
Well, the family will, Kurt.
Most folks.
When the little kid gets married and stuff like that, the wife will be told about it. And.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Kurt, the American Family Association asks a question, and I want to spend the rest of the time on this question.
Okay.
It's a little bit of What's time, but I really want to dig into it. Well, it's a couple of questions, but all related to the same thing. They say this. Uh-huh. Is it too late for America? Have we gone too far?
Do we have to stick a fork in her?
Yeah, exactly. Is there hope for the United States? American Family Association. And I think those three questions are riveting questions, and I think the answer is different for all three of them. Mm-hmm. Now, I would simply answer you something like this. Is it too late for America? No. No, it's never too late, Kurt.
Right.
Have we gone too far? Absolutely, Kurt.
Yeah.
Whenever we violate the commandments of God, it's too far. And the more we do it, it's way That's too far. Right. Yeah. So, is it too late for America? No. No, it's never too late. But have we gone too far? Yes, we have. We've gone too far afield from what I believe really matters, from the supreme law of the land, from God's laws, from, and I could go on and on. We've gone too far. Well, I got to question the word too. Too far from where we ought to be, yes, but not too far to be too late, right? Is there hope for the United States is the final question, Kurt, and I say a resounding yes. Hmm. There is hope for the United States. So have we gone too far for there to be no hope? Of course not. Have we gone too far that we should have never, you know, absolutely. And I bring this up because there's a guy by the name of David Butts. B-U-T-T-S is his last name. Anyway, David Butts says, yes, there is hope for America. He's president of what's called Harvest Prayer Ministries, Kurt.
Very good.
And he believes in the power and potency of prayer. And he is leading the charge to equip believers with the tools necessary to pray. He's got a book called With One Cry. And it's a renewed challenge to pray for America. He says we can pray the kinds of prayers that change the trajectory of a nation. Kurt, I couldn't agree with him more.
Unusual.
I think it's phenomenal. I think it's exciting. This idea that it's not too late, but yes, we've gone too far, but you know what? There is hope and there's something we can do about it. Isn't that the I don't know what you call it, the Gilead's balm for solutions, Kurt?
Yeah, the balm of Gilead, yeah. Yeah, good point.
I mean, I'm just saying, so this guy's speaking out. I'm just thinking, where's the mainstream press that just like hit a home run with this dude? Talk about prayer, and you know, now he talks about these prayers that move mountains kind of prayers, Kurt. These prayers that change nations kind of prayers. What kind of prayers are we talking about? It's not like rub it up, dub, thanks for the grub prayers, is it, Kurt?
Oh, I don't think so, Sam.
Yeah. Thanks for the food from all the good dude, right? Kind of thing. You know, we don't need that kind of stuff. What we need is sincere prayers with. You know, a faith-filled prayer with a humble, real intent, Kurt, to say, Father in heaven, I know you are in your heaven. And I know you love us, and I know you exist, and I know you're aware of us. And we want to repent and call upon you for protection. We need healing in our lives, in our souls, in our land. We need to erase the fault lines, the wedges that have been driven everywhere between us as males and females, as husbands and wives, as fathers and children, as, you know, different races or different religions or different nationalities or different countries or any of these things. We need to set all that aside. And America's great, Kurt. And the more we do this, the greater America will be, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any additional suggestions on this, Kurt?
You know, I don't really know what else to add specifically about this, you know, American Family Association kind of piece. But, you know, I guess I would say there's a what I'd call a related story. Did you see the story about this 107-year-old barber?
Well, he's still cutting hair. I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, he loves his wife and works hard noon to eight every day, you know. I mean, 5 days a week or whatever. The owner of the barber place says, man, this guy's never calls in sick, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, it's just kind of cool to see that, I mean, he's not on any drugs or anything like that. He says he eats thin spaghetti so he won't get fat. You know, anyway, I mean, it's just kind of cool to see that some good things, you know, like God, family, country, and, you know, he was married for 70 years, his wife died, but he goes by her grave every day on the way to work, you know, and, I mean, you know, it's just some really good stuff.
Yeah, I agree. You know? I think it's important that we live the kind of life that we pray for and that we want. You know, they say if you want to be, if you want to have a positive attitude, the best way you can do it is to hang around with people that have a positive attitude. And they say that, you know, if you want to be a Christian, it's best to hang around people that are actually demonstrating the Christian lifestyle. And, you know, they say, you know, you you kind of fall to the level of the common denominator of those who you spend your time with. And there's all kinds of anecdotes that highlight the point. But what I want to say is this: if your prayers are real, you need to pray like it, but then act like it.
Yeah.
In other words, you need to be congruent in your behavior. And so you're highlighting a guy that's 107 years old that lived a good life with one man and one woman. And, you know, he's celebrating the good times that he had instead of horrible memories about his wife or whatever. He's got, you know, sadness for her loss. But, you know, I'd like to, if I could just share with him my message. You know what? He'll see her again.
Yeah.
Okay, he'll see her again. And that's the positive viewpoint that the Church of Jesus Christ lets us know about and things. And so all I'm telling you is I bring this up because we need to be congruent in our lives. We need to advocate for and behave like what we really want to be. Is it too late for America? Never. No. Have we gone too far? Oh, yeah. Whenever we sin, we go too far. But is there hope for the United States? Absolutely. And I bring that down to the family, too, Kurt, no matter how broken your family may feel. Or to the individual, no matter how broken you feel or how many mistakes you think you may have made or whatever the case may be, I just double down and say, hey, it's not too late. There is hope, folks, for all of us at every stage, whether it be, you know, individually, family, country, or whatever. There's hope. There's good things. There's a way forward. There is a solution. I know there's some people that focus on this, Kurt, but there's just not enough. It's not the prevailing view these days. And I sure hope to make it so. I know we're just a small talk show in a sea of a lot of talk, a lot of people, a lot of whatever. Mm-hmm. But if we can have our influence felt, if we can make a difference in our little sphere, if we can advocate for the good and accentuate the wonderful and the good and the positive and I know the negative is there, and I get that we live in perilous times, but we can minimize that. We can focus on the future with hope and faith, not despair and discouragement. And we can then, you know what, pray for that on our knees and then get up and go to work to advocate for that to all those around us. Mm-hmm. We can be cheerful as we follow the Prince of Peace. We can be kind. And I really want to celebrate Melania. I wish there was a way for me to get a hold of her and have her on to promote this. What's it called, her initiative? Be Best?
Be Best initiative. Yeah,
We could get Melania on to talk about her Be Best initiative. Kurt, wouldn't that be phenomenal?
Yeah, and, you know, this WRAL.com piece about this 107-year-old barber has way down like the 85th paragraph at the end. A bunch of guys wanted to help him celebrate his 107th birthday, and so they wanted to take him to a girly joint.
Not.
He says, no way. What are you trying to do, kill me?
Wow. See, that should be the headline of the story.
That's right, but it's way down. You can't read it until clear to the end.
It is good news when good people follow Christ every time, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. Our goal to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property, and to help others do the same in the private sector and celebrate the proper role of limited constitutional government. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We invite you to help. LibertyRoundtable.com. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.